switch to preaching mode.
Bless you. All right. Cool. You can hear me? All right. So it's always fun when you've got a music person and then they're not here and you kind of have to switch between both. So apologize for having to listen to me this morning. But we're continuing in the series, The Good News. And this morning I want to talk about the idea of respond. That is the title of today's sermon, Respond. We're going to be in the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11 is where this passage is coming from this morning. And as we read this passage, again, this is one of those where I think if there's anything that we need to take out of this, there's that one thing that you could just take away. This is what I want you to take away from this message today. It is this: the work of Jesus demands that we respond. Let me say that again. The work of Jesus demands we respond. And starting in verse 20, it says, the scripture says this: then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done, because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Open our hearts. Teach us this morning. Have us to receive what we need to receive and apply it as we need to apply it. Jesus, your name we pray. Amen. So Jesus comes out and he speaks this whoa. It's not like a horse whoa. It's like whoa, you know. It's whoa. It's kind of, it's that distraught nature that it's going to be bad for you. Kind of cursed are you to these people. And for one reason, it's because he's been doing works among them. He's been doing mighty miracles across the land. We've read about some of them. We've skipped over some of these. And the way the Gospels are written, there's an order of the authors. And so what you'll find is we're doing the Gospels kind of in this chronological order. And so you'll be like, weren't we just in Matthew chapter 8? And why are we all the way over here in 11? Well, because chronologically, that's where it goes to in the story. And then they come back and so they'll match back up. But for the purpose of the writing, the author wrote them a certain way. And so Jesus has been doing these miracles. We see them. We see demons cast out. We see people healed. We see dead raised. We see, you know, the lame walking, the blind. See, all this stuff has been happening, and yet people still are not responding to what God is doing. We've often talked about it. How great would it be if God would do some mighty thing in this world? You know, if we walked outside right now and God just all of a sudden miraculously either in the daylight took and spelled out in clouds, "I am Jesus, repent." We'd all be like, wow. As Christians, that would be awesome, wouldn't it? We'd be like, look at the message. God has given us a message. If you go out in the middle of the night and the stars are lined up and it says, "Jesus is Lord." They spelled it out, we would be like, that's amazing. But see, we know Jesus and we would appreciate that. This world, however, would go out and see the clouds written and they would probably go, "Geez, I wonder who hired an airplane to write that. Well, that's weird, the wind kind of did that." They go out and see the stars would spell out glory to God or Jesus is Lord, and they would like, "Well, that's a weird phenomenon. It must be aliens." This world is not looking for God. This world is not seeking out God. And so even when God does these amazing things, the world tends to ignore it more times than not. But the work of Jesus demands that we respond. There has to be some response. And our first response to what Jesus is doing is repentance. Repentance. That's what he was getting after them about. It's not because they didn't go, oh man, Jesus is awesome. Isn't Jesus great? Look what he's done. He's healing people. Woohoo, Jesus. He got after them because they refused to repent. They refused to stand in the light of the holy God, knowing full well that the miracles he was doing could only be done by God. And yet still they went, yeah, I don't need him. And would walk away. We know what happened to Sodom, right? How horrible a land it was. The things that they were doing, the perversions that they were putting on one another. And Jesus said, look, if I had come to them and I had performed these miracles, even they would have repented. But you won't. And if they had done so, they would still be here. But even in those times, even in those Old Testament books where you see and people are like, well, man, God was just mean and vengeful in the Old Testament, wasn't he? No. God's a just God. And he doled out justice. But I can't think of a time God just snuck in and did something without letting the people know it was coming. Think of Nineveh. Nineveh was bad. They were doing mean things. They were a perverse nation. And thanks to VeggieTales, all I can think of is fish slapping. But I know that's not... VeggieTales has messed up a lot. I mean, there's good Bible stuff and it's great for the kids, but it's hard to filter those out sometimes. But what did God do to Nineveh? Send him a prophet. Send him Jonah. Say, go, tell him to repent. What did he want to do? We don't want him. I don't like those people. They're mean. They don't like us. They're cruel to us. And he didn't want to go just because he didn't like them. He didn't want to go because he knew once they got the message what was going to happen. They were going to repent. And then God would spare them. Jesus, has anybody ever encountered somebody like that? Did you know what? That person's really, really bad. Maybe I should tell them about Jesus, but then they might spend heaven eternity. I hope that's not. We never thought that. But these people have seen the works of God. They've seen what Jesus does. You know, and they had Jesus right there with them. Right then and there, and they still ignored it. So it's not going to be easier for us, is it? I mean, one of the common arguments people have now is for why don't you want to accept Jesus? Because a loving God wouldn't do this. A loving God wouldn't allow people to have cancer. A loving God wouldn't do this. Well, I understand what you're saying, but there's some a lot deeper biblical stuff that needs to go into that explanation. But I always want to ask him, well, let me ask you this right now. If we prayed in the name of Jesus that God removed every bit of cancer from the earth, would you then believe that he was God? And a few people may kind of go, well, yeah. But I have a feeling that many more would be like, no, doctors figured it out. They found a cure. Our first response needs to be repentance. In anything we do, our first response needs to be repent. If we've done wrong, we need to repent. We stand in the face of God. When we stand in his presence, when he comes, it should drive us to a moment of repentance. Even coming into church and everything else, we have to have that clarity, that moment of, have I laid everything down? If you ever wondered why churches don't experience the presence of God, it's probably because there's unrepentance in their hearts. That we must respond in repentance. And not responding is a bad, bad choice. If we don't respond, if we don't repent, bad things happen. He talks about Capernaum being brought down to Hades. Verse 25 says this, it says, at the time Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the prudent and have revealed them to babes. Our second response, humility. I think when we put ourselves in the attitude of repentance, That's already a humbling position. And so our response also needs to be to God and His works of humility. And there's a little tongue-in-cheek where Jesus says to the wise and prudent, you could almost, if Jesus did air quotes, the wise and prudent. Because they thought they knew it all. They thought they had the answers. They thought they knew which way to go. They were wise. We got it all figured out. But instead, he says, you revealed it to babes. Little children that are desiring for more information. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And I like that he says, I thank you, Father. And then he puts babes in the same situation. I mean, think about it. As it's Father's Day, you can think about it in this context. As your kids grow older, how much less do they need you? Or how much less do they think they need you? There comes a point when your children grow up and they have to go away. Right? Mine's back there going, she's got a countdown timer for when that's happening, don't you? And so, she's ready. But little kids, they need the parents, right? They need their father around. They need, you know. So just like the little babes, God has revealed this truth to us, and it's humbling. That's why little kids are so easy to believe stuff. They haven't figured out how to be embarrassed or proud about things yet. That's why when you go, got your nose, they're like, give back. They believe you really got it, right? Our second response needs to be that of humility. Verse 26 says, even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father. And no one knows the Son except the Father. Nor does anyone know the Father except the Son. And the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Our third response. Jesus. Anybody ever asked, what's the solution to the problem? Jesus. Don't do it in math class. Your math teacher will tell you you're wrong. But it's Jesus. And when we repent, if we humble ourselves, we begin to see Jesus for who He is. And he says here that he says, it's the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. We see God through Jesus the Son. He has revealed him to us. And as we've been talking about in our discipleship series, people begin to see Jesus in us, or should. Verse 28, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Our fourth response, fulfillment. Jesus tells us to, if we're laboring, we're heavy laden, to come to Him and He'll give us rest. Rest for our souls. And I think there's times that we absolutely need that. Think of soldiers in the military fighting in a combat situation. They even pull them out once in a while to give them what's called R&R. Rest and relaxation. They need it to rejuvenate, to rest. Sometimes we just need to rest in Jesus. But there's more to what he's talking about here. Because if you know what a yoke is, A yoke is a tool that is used in farming. It is designed to tether two ox together. Or in today's modern times, maybe two cows, two donkeys, two something together. It's a yoke. And it attaches them together. And what you'll find is, if you have a dominant one, that's the one that's in charge. Has anybody ever done like that three-legged race? Don't you hate that thing? You know? And like, they'll do it at camps and stuff like that. And if you ever had like a little kid with you, you know, and as an adult, what happens when you take off running? Does that little kid have an easy time keeping up? No, a lot of time you're like dragging the kid behind. Come on! Because they fell down and they can't keep up with you. Or you've scooped them up under the arm and you're just kind of running with them. You'll find that same thing happens when you yoke yourself to something. So many people have yoked themselves to the world and to the way of this world that the world is pulling them this way and that way. If anybody's ever been on a stubborn horse, you'll know what I'm talking about. I'll never forget, I was, folks in Georgia, my uncle's farm up there, had a horse. I rode the horse out and like his house is set back off of the dirt road. And so my aunt and my mom were headed into town. I don't know what they were doing, but it doesn't really matter. So I rode the horse out with them. And the one thing I do know is you do not ride a horse back to the barn on a regular basis. Because if you do that, then the horse gets barn happy and it wants to go back there every time. Well, apparently somebody showed this horse where the barn was. Because my plan was to take that horse and run him right past the house on down to what we call the clay hole and up around and ride some more. And I was at a full gallop. I mean, I was, I was Wild West. I was holding on. It was awesome. And I got right to that driveway. Boom. I kept going. Me in the saddle. The horse had done a hard right. Left me dangling with the saddle in the air. And I felt, blam, I'm on the ground. My fault, I didn't check the cinch on the saddle tight enough. I blame my uncle. He was laughing. I look up, my father, God love him, they were on the ground just laughing. But that horse was hard-headed, and it wanted to go where it wanted to go, and there wasn't no amount of me doing anything that was going to take it that way. And so if we yoke ourselves to the wrong thing, things happen, man. We get pulled the wrong direction. We get pulled this way and that way. Sometimes we get completely thrown off and thrown to the ground. But Jesus is saying, yoke yourself to me. I'm gentle. I'm easy. He says, my yoke is easy. My burden is light. And I don't think it's because of us that the yoke is easy and the burden is light. It's because he's doing all the work. Laboring without Jesus is hard. We can try to do whatever, all these things, and we can say we're doing it for the glory of God and for the kingdom of God, but if we don't do it in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, and we don't follow Him and His will, what He's doing, we are going to struggle. It is going to be hard. More hard than it should be. Now, I'm not saying that even with Jesus, there aren't times of hardship. That's not what I'm saying. But even in those times of hardship, it's a lot easier to plow through them when you got Jesus just tugging. But when you're trying to drag it all yourself, it's not easy. So we need to attach ourselves to Jesus to accomplish His work. Now notice this passage talks about I will give you rest. But then it talks about yoking yourself and how light and how the burden is. We still are working. But there's a restfulness to the work. There's a fulfillment in the work that builds us up. Good.
Just been on the mountain bike trail. Can I come in like this?
Sure. Come on in. You're fine. We find fulfillment in that work of Christ. So, as we respond with repentance. As Christ calls to us, as Christ shines that light and shows us who we are, we should repent. We humble ourselves. And humility is never an easy thing. Matter of fact, it's probably the first sin. It's the thing that got Lucifer booted out of heaven, was pride. Because the devil was up there and the devil went, "I can do what you do. Let me be God." God said, "You can't do what I do. Get out." It was pride. It was pride that got Eve to eat of that fruit. Oh, he just knows you'll be just like him and he doesn't want you to be that way. She said, "Ooh, I want to be like God. Let me eat that." And Adam said, "Ooh, I want to be like God and I want to be like Eve. Let me eat it too." And now look at the mess we're in. Pride goeth before the fall, does it not? But humility. I'm going to go back to the 80s here. Anybody remember the Raiders of the Lost Ark movies? It was the Search for the Holy Grail was the one, I believe it was. Indiana Jones, and he had to go through like this maze of things, and like one of the things was like this trap with like the saw blade that just kept coming out, and people couldn't get through it. They were trying to do this, and I wish I'd have looked up and thought about this, what the exact thing that he was supposed to do was, but it was something about your position before God, basically. And he's like, position before God, humility. And he knelt down. And then right then the saw blade went over his head. And he was able to get up and walk on. Everybody else had been whacked because they were just too proud and kept walking. But that's our position before God, is that of humility. I bet you. Oh, sorry. Baptist church. I'm not going to bet. We're in church. And I can't promise because I don't know. I don't know what's exactly going to happen, but I have this feeling. The moment that we walk into heaven, the moment that we step foot up in there, and however it happens, I don't know if you walk upstairs and there's a crowd going, "Hey, it's glad you're here. Yeah, where's the..." And all of a sudden the crowd parts and Jesus comes in. The moment we see Jesus, I think the next thing that's going to happen is we are going to be right on our face on the ground in front of him. We are just going to fall before God. Right at the feet of Jesus and go, "I'm not worthy." And then I believe Jesus will probably pick us up and go, "It's okay. Well done. You're with me. Man, that's going to be a good day." And that's what we have when we have Jesus. And this is the formula, I think, for that abundant life, for that great life. It's not about getting money. It's not about getting possessions. That if Jesus moves, when Jesus is at work, we respond to what he does. We repent, we give ourselves to him, we receive Jesus. We will find fulfillment in whatever we do. Amen. We will be blessed, maybe not as the world defines it, but we will be blessed and fulfilled like never before. So I'm going to say this again. If there is one thing to take away from this message today, it is the work of Jesus demands we respond. It demands we respond personally. That if you've never given your life to him, you do that today. Amen. If he is calling us to something, to move a certain way, to work a certain way, we need to respond to that. If God is speaking to us as a church, as a body of believers, we need to respond to that. We cannot ignore Jesus. We'll go try. Somehow, He's going to get our attention. The work of Jesus demands that we respond. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. God, I pray that through Your Holy Spirit, You just speak truth to us. God, that You help us to respond to You today. Whatever it is, whatever You ask, humbly we come before You, Jesus. We thank You for who You are and what You've done. Jesus, it's in Your name we pray. Amen. Grab your hymnal. We're going to be on hymn number 249.